Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our podcast. Today, we welcome Tony, who is a property investment expert, educator, and mentor. With over 15 years of experience in property investing, Tony has the extensive knowledge of all property investment strategies. This includes renovation, subdivision, development, buy and hold, overseas investing, and creative vendor finance cash flow techniques. Tony's mission is to empower others to achieve their full potential through personal development and to attain financial independence through effective investing strategies. As a mentor and consultant, Tony has helped countless individuals and businesses succeed in the world of property investing. We are thrilled to have Tony with us today, and we can't wait to learn from his wealth of knowledge and expertise in the field of property investing.
Welcome to the Passive with Property podcast, hosted by Dragan Domofsky. With over two decades of property investing, Dragan is a qualified property investment advisor and buyer's agent. We're committed to the education of both first-time and seasoned investors in property investment and wealth creation. The Passive with Property podcast is brought to you by the Buyers Agency Australia.
Okay, Tony Lambrianos, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for coming on.
Hi, Dragan. It's an absolute pleasure to be with you.
Fantastic. So, Tony, tell me a little bit, an introduction about yourself so the listeners know who you are.
Mm-hmm. I am a full-time property investor and mentor. For my day job, I'm one of the directors and also mentors of the Results Mentoring Program. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we mentor people on a one-to-one basis to help them, educate them in how to deploy the multiple strategies that we have in the property investing space, ultimately to make a profit and for most of them to overall achieve a passive income of their choosing, which is typically around $100,000 of passive income that people seem to gravitate to.
Okay, fantastic. Awesome. Well, we'll get more into that a little later. So tell me, let's get into your personal background. Can you share some interesting facts about your past, where you grew up, where you went to school and things like that?
Yeah, I do have a bit of an interesting past. I was born in North Africa, Sudan of all places.
Oh, wow.
Two Greek parents, and my dad was an engineer, and because of his profession, we did move around a bit. So we lived in Sudan. I left when I was around 8 years old. We actually went to South Africa and spent around 4 years there. Then we actually went to Dubai, spent around 6 years there. And then we went back. That's when I finished my uni and thought I wanted to become an engineer, mechanical engineer. So I went and studied that. Mm-hmm. And when I went into the real world, I realized that is actually not exactly what I was really thought engineering was going to be. Then I actually went back to uni, did computer science. That sort of fitted better for me. And I ended up working for an energy company. Then the situation in South Africa changed quite drastically and we decided to then immigrate. And we came here in Australia around 1999. And from then onwards, that is where my property investing journey really, really started to take off. Even mm-hmm. though I'd done stuff mm-hmm. in South Africa, I really started taking it seriously when I came here to Australia.
Okay. And what year was that again, sorry?
That was in 1999.
1999. Okay.
Yeah, that was in 1999. And what actually happened was, I used to work as a business consultant in the corporate world. So I was working for what is now called Accenture, or Arthur Anderson back then. And when I came here, I joined another consultancy firm called PricewaterhouseCoopers mm-hmm. and probably spent around 12 years in consulting before I kicked out and became a full-time property investor.
Okay. What was the influence to get you into property investing?
Well, It was interesting because when I was probably around 2001 or two, having a discussion with my accountant. And this is a very typical situation across just about everyone in the corporate world to some extent that is earning decent salary. I was having a conversation with my accountant, and he said to me, look, you're earning quite well. You should really go out and buy a negatively geared property. So at that stage, I didn't have the education I've got now. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to follow his advice. Literally the next weekend, I attended what is commonly called a builder's sort of working session. So you sit there and they tell you a little bit about what to do, et cetera. And then they say to you, we've got all these properties you can come have a look at. Mm-hmm. And with it, obviously, for you to just buy one. And that's exactly what happened. The following week, I was literally in my car following this guy around. Mm-hmm. And I saw around three properties, freshly built. You know, it's a house and land package, literally. No, I just bought one. Let me look at the market. Should I be buying in the suburb? Mm-hmm. Am I at the top of the market? Am I at the bottom of the market? The accountant said to me, just go buy one. Yep. So I just bought one.
Yeah.
And what I didn't realize was I had bought at the top of the market, mm-hmm. right? And the market flatlined for 5 years. Right. I got no capital growth at all. So that advice, and during that period of time, it's exactly what's happened recently with the interest rates rising. We had a interest rate rose quite drastically around that time, and I could actually feel it in my hip pocket. Every time interest rates rose, boom, you ended up paying more your money, obviously. And then it just happened again and again. Yep. And I realized that this is not what I want. I want property to help me, not actually cause me more pain.
That's right.
That's when I realized I needed to get some serious education and see what is it. How could I own property that is positive cash flow, even with interest rate hikes?
Yep.
That does not burn my pocket, and that's my next progression. Eventually, I sold out of that property over time as the market recovered. But the next thing that I did, I took whatever money I had and went and bought positive cash flow properties until I ran out of money again. Yep. And that's what happens. You know, you run out of deposit money and then you sit back and you go, well, now what do I do? Right.
Yeah.
I just run out of deposit money. What do I do? Yep.
Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's still people out there like the listeners that are on the show now listening to you. They would think, oh, no, the interest rates have gone up. There's no way we can get positive geared properties at the moment. True or false?
False.
Yep. Yep.
There's always a way of getting positive cash flow properties. Definitely.
Yep.
Yeah, you just got to know what to look for and where to go, but also how to do the numbers.
Exactly.
So I always tell people, when someone talks to you about, let's call it yield, be conscious that there's gross yield and net yield.
Exactly.
And always work with net yield if you can. Because it's a true reflection of cost.
And I'm noticing day in, day out, you get people out there that, for example, buyers agents like myself, advertising. They're saying, check this property out. It's in Queensland. It's returning a 6% rental yield. And we bought it for this and it's renting for that. Wow. And then you said, no, not really. Let's actually get into the numbers. And do the calculation. And it's funny, I was actually with someone talking to a younger guy yesterday on a Zoom call, and he said, I've got this, apartment down in Queanbeyan, and it's going to return a 6% return. I said, okay, well, let's do the numbers. How much rent would you be getting? Okay, great. Let's take out the council rates, the insurance, property management fees, water, everything. And then we worked it out to be like 4.3%. And he's like, that's not what the other guy told me. And I go, there you go.
Exactly. And anyone with that kind of knowledge falls into that trap.
Yeah.
And people use that as a basis of comparing two kinds of properties that, you can't compare an apartment with a house.
No.
You know, the kind of cost of holding either one of those is slightly different. Mm-hmm. And also the kind of product is slightly different.
Yeah.
I personally like owning houses versus apartments necessarily. Mm-hmm. People have different preferences, but having something on a single title it's more my kind of investing.
That's right. And you have control. You have full control of it.
Full control of it.
That's right.
You could boil it over if you want, build more stuff on it, et cetera. Exactly. You got options, a lot more options.
Options you have in property, the better.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. So Tony, share your story on how you got started in property investing.
Yeah. So I started by buying my first negatively property.
Yep.
Thought that was a bad idea. Moved on and started buying positive cash flow properties. And then I ran out of money. Then I said, what do I do? Mm-hmm. How do I now move forward with this? And that is when I went on and started getting education and looking for how is it that I can create basically deposit money and start flipping that over much quicker. And that's when started moving into renos, okay, because again, I started following a system that got me in and out of a reno in around 5 to 6 months, then progressed and started doing subdivision developments. Now, that takes a little bit longer, but at the end of each one of these projects, you have a cash, basically you have a lump sum that comes out of it.
Yeah.
You get all your capital back plus a profit.
Yep.
Then you take that and then you reinvest it. And again, you reinvest it into the next project so you can get your cash back, et cetera. So I moved away from necessarily buying more property for my portfolio, but just started focusing on building basically my bank balance. Because ultimately I knew in order for me to gain my time back and get out of the corporate life, I needed to own an asset basically debt-free that just gave me a passive income.
That's right.
And I would not be able to do that if I kept on having debt constantly following me. Now, there's good debt and bad debt, as you know.
Yep.
I've used debt to my advantage. So that's what I did. I started flipping it over. And so moved into subdivision developments and started off by doing smaller ones, one into twos, one into threes. And we've now progressed, and the kind of subdivision development deal that I'm currently doing is, and I say we, is because it takes a lot of people to pull off something of that magnitude. We're doing a 14 apartment, 4 commercial shop, double basement build. That's sort of the niche that we like to play in, is that level of construction. So it can be anywhere between a 1 into 2 all the way up to that. But that's the kind of stuff that I'm doing at the moment.
Okay. Fantastic. So why property investing out of all other investment vehicles?
It's the one that gives me I have a lot of fun with it. I get a big thrill out of going out there, finding a great deal, but also negotiating. I love negotiating. I love pushing the envelope. If I know that my numbers, because I work backwards from numbers, I know that I need to get something for a particular price. I just really want to tell your listeners, and you really need to appreciate what I'm about to say. If you work from a numbers perspective rather than an emotive perspective, and you're saying, if I buy this property, depending on what you want to do with it, if I buy this property and I want this kind of return or this kind of lump profit, once I've taken into consideration all the costs in between, that's going to hit me regardless. I just need to know what that is. Okay. I then work backwards and say, this is the price that I really got to buy it. Okay. Most likely that's the price under than what the guy wants to sell it for, the person wants to sell it for. But if I don't get at that price, I run a massive risk that my project may not make what I want. And in fact, I might lose money. Mm-hmm. I don't like losing money. Mm-hmm. So I will then go and negotiate at that price.
Yep.
When I do get it, I sleep well at night. Right. I don't wake up and go, oh my God, I forgot about this. I didn't know about that. Now the market shifted on me. And then you wake up in a panic attack, and I don't like that. So to avoid that, you work backwards and you say, I got to buy that price. So you become good at negotiating, right?
Yep.
If you get it, you get it. If you don't get it, guess what? There's tons of more properties out there you can go and have a, you can try and go buy it, right?
Yeah.
And that's what sometimes I get asked that a lot. You know, after a while, you know, eventually property will become unaffordable and all of that stuff. And that's not been my experience in doing this for over 20 years now, right?
Yeah.
There's always a deal out there, but what people lack is the perseverance to go out there and find it.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's what makes, you know, person A different to person B.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay. So what did you learn from all this experience so far in the last 20 years?
The biggest learning is get the education, apply the education. It was used as getting it, but not applying it. So get the education, apply the education. And so you get different strategies in the property investing world, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, let's, you know, you get your typical buy and hold negatively geared, then you have your positively geared stuff. Then you can become more creative and you move into the reno world. You can do a live in, you know, you can then buy something, you know, do it and then sell it. But a lot of people start off by doing live in renos, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
So buy something, live in it, do it. After 12 months or so, you know, you can sell it and then possibly go do it again.
Yep.
Then people advance to doing more subdivision development type stuff. And then people ultimately progress and start investing in commercial real estate. Okay.
Yep.
So we'll either buy it as is or they'll go and actually build it. Okay.
Yep.
Those are the different strategies. And what for me, I've gone out and done all of them.
Yeah.
Right. Because you also have some of the more creative stuff like vendor finance, for instance. People, you know, I've gone and done that as well.
Right? Not many people know about vendor finance. And we'll touch on that on another episode, I think.
Correct.
Yeah.
So once you've tried it all, you know, some people will say, you know, I've tried that, but, you know, my niche is I'm sticking in rentals, I'm sticking subdivision developments, whatever. Yeah. But you got to, my view is, unless you tried, you won't really understand the, you know, what it is to go through something like this.
Yeah.
But because real estate is also getting quite expensive, okay, you'll find that most people lack either the borrowing capacity or cash resources to then progress to the next one easily. And so the way you overcome that is by teaming up with somebody else effectively that has what you don't have.
Yeah.
And then going away and still doing it. There's always a way, right? Yeah. What you've got to understand though is where do you find people like that? So this is now comes down to you got to surround yourself with people that are educated in a like-minded community.
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely.
You got to surround yourself with people that, like if you're doing stuff on the ground with great trades, you know, great, you know, people like yourself, you know, people that you go out there and say, find me something good, you know, or, you know, come and deliver something for me or I will manage you accordingly.
Yeah.
The team around you becomes absolutely incredible. And once you've got a really good team like that in place, you just keep on repeating this thing
until
you get to where you want to go.
And where can the listeners find a community like this?
Yeah. So in the results mentoring program, for example, that we run, this such a community exists.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, the other community that sort of hangs off that is the Developer Renovator Network, and there are people. I run the one in Melbourne. We do it on a monthly basis.
Yep.
This is where people and the public can come along. My job, and there's other state leaders. We run it in Sydney, Adelaide, Perth, and in Brisbane. Our job is to basically invite people out of the industry. That could be architects, land surveyors, engineers, builders, to come along and share knowledge for free, right?
Because
anyone can come along and participate for free. And then on the back of that, or before that, or even after that, you network with other people. So this is how you actually get to meet people that actually of the same ilk as you, right? And then you build out those relationships. And we've had so many examples of how two people met like that and became lifelong investment partners.
Yeah, okay? That's fantastic.
Or they've met like that and done one or two projects together, made great money, et cetera. And I'll give you a great example. There were two people. One had recently been basically made redundant but had already started his subdivision development. That's what he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And the other one, the other person actually works in finance. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so the person in finance was quite time poor, but he had borrowing capacity in cash. Mm-hmm. And the other person was like not doing it full time. He had found the deal, but he needed somebody to come in and do it. It was a four-lot subdivision, right?
Four-lot, okay.
Four-lot subdivision.
Okay. Yep.
So they came together, and the guy found the deal was basically running it. They agreed that this is the way they're going to structure it together. And then what we call now the time partner, he progressed, he got his development approval, he got his details drawings done. And at that point in time, the market was starting to move up quite drastically. And he was approached.
And when was this, if I don't mind cutting in, sorry?
This would have been around maybe 4 or 5 years ago now.
Okay. Can you give me an example, a rough example of what they purchased, how much the cost of, doing the subdivision and the end result?
Not from memory.
Okay.
Not exactly. But they purchased this block of land that actually was sold off by council.
Okay.
Right next to a park.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, working backwards from the numbers, he was able to determine that price that they were offering was actually good and he could fit four in there. There were trees. Mm-hmm. So they had to work around the trees because you couldn't bring some of the trees down. Mm-hmm. And so he had managed to actually fit four of them. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. So when they were ready to actually move into construction, mm-hmm. a real estate agent approached and said, look, I've got a builder who actually wants to buy your site. Are you prepared to sell it? And I remember I was having this conversation with him, and he goes, "Well, I'll sell it, but I said to him, get a great offer that allows you to let it go."
Yeah.
So he went and said, "If he can give me over above this number, I can let it go," and he did. He offered him that price.
Yeah.
To cut a long story short, after all costs, this took him 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
After all costs, they made $330,000 profit.
Fantastic.
$330,000 profit in 12 months.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Two people that never knew each other before came together and then shabam, right?
Yep. Yep. That's right.
Now they've both gone and done further developments, et cetera.
Yep.
But this is a really good typical story that actually happens quite a lot, actually.
Awesome.
But, that is an excellent way of basically what I could say, getting off your island. A lot of people think that they have to do everything themselves. Real estate is very expensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to leverage ultimately if you want to progress and move faster.
That's right. And look, it doesn't always have to be in your surrounding town either. You know, if you're living in Sydney, for instance, it doesn't have to be in Sydney. It doesn't even have to be in the state. Move out to, to your research in other areas like Queensland, like South Australia.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And, I mean, look, I've done a lot of projects myself, and believe it or not, I've never even visited some of the sites. Right?
Yeah.
I'm sure you know about that, Tony.
Yeah.
and it can be done. You hire professionals. You do your education, you do your numbers, and if it all works out, you hire professionals who are, good at what they're doing.
Yeah.
You don't even need to be there.
I remember the first positive cash flow property I could have bought it off my credit card. It was $40,000.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. And I still negotiated them down to 35.
Of course, it's in your blood. When it's in your blood, it's in your blood, right?
And that property was getting 120 a week.
Awesome.
It was just phenomenal.
Crazy. Yeah.
But again, did not look at it. So did not physically go and look at it. But there was video of the reno that they'd done. I think that's what made me comfortable. I could see, you know, they'd rewired the place, they'd put, you know, they put bats where they're supposed to have put stuff in the walls, etc. They'd re-stumped it. So, and, you know, I looked at that and I go, okay, you know, that was a decent job.
Are you stressed out not knowing where to find distressed, off-market, high cash flow properties in high growth areas? What about the best strategy to build a wealth-generating portfolio? Look no further. Dragan Domofsky can help. With 20 years of experience as a property investor, Dragan is a qualified property investment advisor and expert buyer's agent, so he knows how to find the best deals and negotiate for his clients. And right now, he's offering a free 45-minute strategy session to get you started, normally worth $500. Text the code PWP along with your name and email address to 0405 105 074 now to take advantage of this offer. Don't wait. Take control of your financial future today. That number again, 0405 105 074. You're listening to the Passive with Property podcast, hosted by Dragan Domofsky. To ensure you don't miss out on valuable investing tips and information, subscribe today.
Okay. So when you first started, did you get any sort of guidance, you know, or sort of resource help to shape your investment?
I was reading a lot of books.
Yeah.
And did a lot of attended as many call it seminars that were really focused on number crunching. Primarily. Okay. I wanted to know the numbers primarily and how to do that properly.
Yeah.
So I gravitated to that kind of stuff. But there wasn't one place where you could have a single, call it mentor or person that could talk to you about every strategy, like breadth and depth. That didn't ever existed when I started. So I learned through different people that were doing the different strategies.
So can you name some of those books or seminars that you really sort of stick to you at the moment that you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing, you know, a lot of people know Steve McKnight. From propertyinvesting.com.
Yep.
So we would attend a lot of his stuff.
Awesome.
I remember Steve would call us up. You know, it was myself and Simon Buckingham, who's now my business partner. Yeah. We would walk up and go, well, can you guys tell us what you did from the last 6 months when we got together? And we'd say, well, we bought this or we did this project or whatever. And it's like, this is how you should do it. Take action all the time.
That's right. Yeah.
So, plus also other private investors. There's a couple by the name of Dave and Julie Siachi who was doing a lot of creative vendor finance and other kind of ways of actually getting property and helping people whilst being able to create profit.
Awesome.
And I met them in one of these seminars again, and we become lifelong friends now.
Okay, yeah. Fantastic. So, Tony, what's one of the best advice you've ever received for about property investing?
That's a good one. I think the best advice was, and it comes down to any investing, really. You know, not just property. The advice was, and it sounds brutal when you hear it, but be prepared to lose everything, right? If you're putting in $100,000 in any kind of scheme that you're thinking of investing in, it could be shares, it could be, you know, it could be a business, it could be anything. Be prepared to lose it all and be able to sleep at night about it, right?
Yeah.
I'm putting in $100,000. If tomorrow I lose it, bye bye. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
But then when you really sit back and think about that, you go, well, which strategy it's most likely that I will not lose all of it. Mm-hmm. You know, yep. I mean, you could go, like, if you think about shares, you could go buy, call it blue chip shares.
Yeah. Right?
The only way you're going to lose all your money is if that company goes insolvent.
Yeah, that's right.
It's gone, right? Yeah. Finished, right? But most likely, your capital might diminish because they're not doing well, mm-hmm. right? So your 100 grand may go down to 50 grand, whatever, mm-hmm. right? But then when you look at property, it's bricks and mortars. Yeah. And now, again, depends what you do with that deal. You know, if I am I a title holder?
Yeah.
On a particular, say, subdivision development deal, or am I just a capital contributor?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? That's right. There's strategies within property as within well. Property. That's right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with property, at the end of the day, you do own an asset.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you can sell that asset. Again, you know, your 100 may go down to 70, whatever that number is, because you had to take a hit.
That's right.
You know, the likelihood of potentially going to absolute zero is far less. And that's why I like property.
And then you can actually pick the strategy to your taste of your risk of you, you know. So risk appetite. That's what I was looking for, that word. So exactly that. Yeah. Now, obviously we'll you know, maybe in later shows we can touch on each strategies, but I mean, obviously the less risky investment and probably one of the ones I recommend would be the you know, buy and hold type of a strategy, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I think the buy and hold strategy, the perception which is touted by a lot of people in the industry is that buy a product, buy an asset, and it, you know, she'll be all right, mate. You know, she'll double in 10 years. And you know what? On average, people do okay. Do they double in 10 years? Does every single asset double in 10 years?
Of course not. Yeah.
Of course not.
Yep.
You know, there's people that own, unfortunately, apartments that have gone backwards in 10 years.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
That's right.
They bought it at the peak when there was a lot of hype, and then, you know, 10 years later, they're now worth $50,000 less.
Yep.
Or you can buy a property instead of it doubling; it's gone up 50%. Right. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Yep. Right.
Better than nothing.
You can still do something with that.
Yep.
And so overall, property has been good to people.
Yeah.
And continues to be good to people. Right. Yep. Within that realm, though, it all depends what you want to get out of it, mm-hmm. right? If you're gunning for passive income, there's ways of getting to that end goal much faster than just necessarily your normal just buy and hold, which you may or may not get to what you. And it's interesting, you know. I talked to a lot of people around saying, you know, I've got 5 properties. They're great. Mm-hmm. So what do you want to do? Why are you doing all of this? And they go, well, I want passive income ultimately. And I go, mm-hmm. well, how much? And they've never thought about it.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the best way I can do it is correlate it to the job. Like, how much do you get for your work now? And let's assume it's 100 grand, right? It's 100 grand. I say, right. Do you think your property as you have, your 5 properties will give you 100 grand? And will you be able to have paid them off by the time you call it hit retirement? Mm-hmm. And again, they don't know how to do the numbers. So that's, you know, so we help them. Like, let's do the numbers. And most likely, many of them will not get to 100 grand. So mm-hmm. then it's a good wake-up call to say, well, what is it that I need to do faster?
Yeah, that's right.
Or many times, some of the properties that they bought were not great performers and they continue not to be good performers. And so a good way to overcome that is to what I call substitute them out, right? Yeah.
So explain that to, you know, for the listeners that don't know.
Substituted out is, I know it's not a good performer, I will sell it, mm-hmm. but then I will go buy something that is a better performer than this one,
yep.
hopefully 2 to 3 times better, to try and make up for the bad performer.
Yeah.
That's been in there for a while and want to just get rid of that problem child, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, for sure. So, Tony, can you talk us through some of the steps you took to achieve your current level of success within investment strategy?
Yeah, so over and above the kind of steps, the kind of projects that I've undertaken, which is very much the way I think about property investing is you want to get to then an end goal where you own a number of really good, what I call performing properties. And my definition of that is the net yield, again, not the gross yield, the net yield needs to be greater than ideally 6 or 7%. Okay, that would be a really good one to own and have in your portfolio. Yep. But then ultimately have no debt on them, right?
Yeah.
And so how do you get rid of that debt fast, right? And the way you do it is if you're in a job is to be making money in parallel using using property as a strategy to then make additional capital to either go and invest and make more money or pay off debt, right? Yeah. And that is then being more active. This is where, you know, we will do things like renovations and subdivision developments to make lump sum profits. Yeah. Then you can pay off debt, take some of the rest of it, and then go move into your next project or projects because you can be doing two or three at the same time if if you're doing it on a full-time basis.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And so you just keep doing this until you get to a position where you think, you know, I'm happy with this and I want to stop now if you want to, or I'm still having so much fun, which is what I do. I'm having so much fun in this. I'm just going to keep going until whenever. Right.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, it's a multi-generational thing, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to live something really nice for my children, give them a good leg up.
Yeah.
And so this helps me do that very, very well.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. Okay. So if let me ask you this question. If you could go back in time to the past self, what advice would you give to yourself?
I would firstly go and get educated before I even bought that first negatively geared property. Yep. Because even if I had bought that negatively geared property, if I had the knowledge, right? Like nowadays with technology is advancing at such a speed, it's phenomenal, right? Mm-hmm. Nowadays with technology, if I had to go back, if my old self came today and my accountant said to me, go and buy a negatively geared property.
Punch him in the nose.
Just remember, like, I'll go, well, again, I don't know what I don't know yet, right?
Yeah.
The only difference now, I would go, okay, how do I do that smartly?
Yes, exactly.
Like, okay. Where do I go and buy a negatively geared property and do it smartly rather than what I did, right?
Yeah.
And I would go get the education. Because one of the things that we train people on, for example, in the results mentoring program is if you want to go do that, then have the know-how to go into a suburb that, you know, is going up.
Yeah.
So negatively geared works when you're getting capital growth.
That's right. Yep.
It doesn't work if you flatlined or you're going backwards. Yep. Which is what happened to me, right? Yep. So you want to go in and go, right, I want to go buy in that suburb or that suburb, but not those other suburbs, right?
That's right, yeah.
So you got to know what those two suburbs are. So you get the education to find out what those are. Then you can buy in it. And then the other thing I'm going to say is, you know, a lot of people they call it set and forget, right? Yep. And I'm saying, don't do that. At least monitor it every 6 months or 12 months and saying, is it growing up?
Yeah.
Will it continue to go up? Okay. Because nowadays there's indicators that show you that, right?
Yeah.
And if it is, keep it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
If it isn't, substitute it. Like get something else that's doing better.
Yeah. That's right. So, Tony, can you give us a little sneak peek of what's coming up in the next, say, 3-5 years for you?
Very much working within the market dynamics. Okay. I think the Australian property market is extremely exciting, even though we have high interest rates. Mm-hmm. You know, we have challenges with builders, for example. You know, the cost of building has gone up. Some builders, in the development space, some builders have gone out of business, etc. Mm-hmm. So again, it's a massive buyer beware landscape at the moment, where again, you need to have the education, be surrounded with people that give you good advice, and so you don't end up down a rabbit hole, right?
Yep.
So I still think, we our population will continue to grow. We will still need places. People still need places to live.
Yep.
So property investing or property development, for that matter, which is what we do a lot now, mm-hmm. will continue. And it's just, as a smart property investor, call it developer, you need to know what product people want, and you go deliver that for them.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Whether it's in the form of a reno, or whether it's in the form of subdivision development.
Yeah.
Or even when you're buying something, for example, I'm town poor. I can't do any of those active things. Someone like yourself, Dragon, can you go find something for me? But, make it as positive as possible. That's, mm-hmm. that's what you're going to go do for people. Right.
Yeah, definitely.
And so with all of that, for me, it's continue doing what I'm doing.
Yep.
And my end goal being, again, striving for a passive income that is great for me and my family.
That's right. Awesome. So, Tony, is there anything else you want to make sure our audience, our listeners out there, knows about you and your work?
As I mentioned before, we have, I do two things. One is, well, primarily three things, to be honest. One is, we do our own investments. Okay. Yep. This is what we always have the ear on the ground. We always know what's going on in the marketplace because we're in the trenches, just like everyone else, doing great, great deals. Mm-hmm. Okay. At the same time, I'm also a director and mentor of the Results Mentoring Program. Mm-hmm. And in that, we mentor people right across the country. So in any given day, I would be seeing what people are doing in Perth, Adelaide, Brisbane, Sydney, or even Melbourne, right? Mm-hmm. We know what the market is actually doing at any one of those 10 times and what kind of deals people are doing. Mm-hmm. So with that knowledge, we can help people accelerate. Don't go do this. It's not going to serve you. Go do that, for example.
Yeah. Okay?
And then obviously the third part of it is, again, I love networking with people, building a community. We build a great community within Results, but we also have a great community outside of that via the Developer Innovator Network, which helps people come together again and share knowledge. Awesome. But for people on this podcast, I want to extend an invitation. Mm-hmm. If you go to resultsmentoring.com, we offer people a free one-on-one consult where mm-hmm. we speak to you about your particular situation mm-hmm. and how the education can help you. All right. Yep. We're educators in that front. We do not sell property, but we teach you how to go do it yourself. Okay.
Awesome.
By holding your hand until you get to that level of competence.
Yep.
And to actually give you a sneak peek of what is possible in the resultsmentoring.com website. There's a menu called news. Mm-hmm. And under that, there you'll find a lot of brilliant education, content, such as under the educational part, for example, we've got great, webinars on, why your portfolio is holding you back and what you can do about it, how to avoid buying a lemon, the profits of a live-in reno, spotting a real property bargain, and how to create a six-figure positive cash flow are some examples. Yep. Also, we have some life journeys, things like how some people have used this mechanism to kick out of a job. His name is Adam from Perth, and a lady, Catherine from SA. I mean, Catherine was single mom of two, managed to, you know, get out of the rat race, well, basically become financially independent, you know, over 7 to 10 years. But she got there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we got some great real deals similar to the one I just said before, where the two guys came together and did something. For example, this one, we have Rebecca, we call her Beck. She made 400K from a single property deal. That was a reno, actually, in just 15 months.
15 months.
Yeah. And then the other one, that was a simple subdivision. You know, Richard made 500K. This Richard is the same guy that did the JV with the other example I just gave.
Mm-hmm.
Moved on and did this one. So great results out of both of those guys.
And deals are out there every single day.
Yeah.
Every day. And I'm surprised there's not more and more people out there doing this. You know, and it's all about coming down exactly to what you're saying, Tony. Educate yourself. Educate. Mm-hmm. The more you educate yourself, the more you listen to podcasts, the more you read, the more you, you know, jump onto courses like results mentoring, the more you will become rich in knowledge. And then the more, you know, less stress you have to jump into these deals.
Exactly.
And, you know, you load yourself up with ammunition just to be, you know, whatever you want to be at the end of the day, really, within this circle. So, Tony, I will put a link in the description here of the website resultsmentoring.com. And Tony, thank you very much for coming onto the show. It was an absolute pleasure, and I'm sure that the listeners have got a lot out of it, and we'll definitely be getting you back on for more.
No worries, Dragon. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to do this. And
my pleasure.
And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Passive with Property podcast, hosted by Dragon Domofsky. For valuable information on property investment and wealth creation for both first-time and seasoned investors, be sure to subscribe today. The Passive with Property podcast is brought to you by the Buyers Agency Australia. Are you stressed out not knowing where to find distressed, off-market, high cash flow properties in high growth areas? What about the best strategy to build a wealth-generating portfolio? Look no further. Dragon Domofsky can help. With 20 years of experience as a property investor, Dragon is a qualified property investment advisor and expert buyer's agent, so he knows how to find the best deals and negotiate for his clients. And right now, he's offering a free 45-minute strategy session to get you started, normally worth $500. Text the code PWP along with your name and email address to 0405 105 074 now to take advantage of this offer. Don't wait. Take control of your financial future today. That number again, 0405 105 074.